Could there be too strong a rebound?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke with some strong evidence of economic recovery in China this morning. Factory output jumped 16%, the best reading in a year and a half. In fact, the head of the World Bank actually asked today whether some Asian countries might be bouncing back too hard. He spoke as Asia-Pacific leaders are preparing for the annual APEC summit. For more, let's bring in Marketplace's Scott Tong live from Shanghai. Good morning.
Good morning, Bill.
Scott, as sick as this economy still feels, how can we be talking about overheating?
Well, the concern is asset prices on this side of the world, stock and property prices. The head of the World Bank, Robert Zoellick, thinks Asian markets face a bigger risk of bubbles than the developed world. He spoke in Singapore today, which is hosting that upcoming APEC summit. And Zoellick said he's not worried about immediate bubble trouble, but if Asian asset prices become a serious issue, he says it could undermine confidence in the global recovery. And we all remember, Bill, that out-of-whack housing prices and stock prices are what triggered this whole crisis in the first place.
Right. So the goal is not too hot, not too cold. Which countries have that potential for overly hot porridge?
Well, here in China, the stock market is up 69% this year. Property prices are up, and the economy is roaring ahead at almost 9%. India stocks this year are up more than 60%, and Australia's recovery has gone so well they've already raised interest rates twice to slow down the recovery. But it is a careful balance, Bill, because a lot of central bankers are concerned that their countries are not out of the woods yet. There's a draft of the APEC summit communique that's leaked out, and it says countries should keep up the stimulus until a durable recovery is secured. Bill?
Yes, thanks, Scott. Marketplace's Scott Tong live in Shanghai. Asian stocks were looking up today. They gained 1% or so. European markets are even a little higher than that this morning after some encouraging bank earnings. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow rose 20 points to 10,246, and that is another high for the year. Strange, isn't that? The stock market is up. We're talking about strong earnings and economic recovery. And yet, Sprint says it's cutting another 2,500 jobs. Pfizer, 2,000 jobs. The video gamer Electronic Arts is cutting 1,500 jobs. Those announcements are just from this week. We asked Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith how there can be optimism with no jobs.
Last quarter was full of good earnings reports, and the job cuts just keep coming. Tom Higgins is chief economist at Payden & Riegel Asset Management. He says companies have slashed workforces to cut costs, but things will turn around soon.
Companies have probably laid off too many workers. Once the recovery does start getting traction, then companies will start hiring back some of these workers.
But that doesn't mean employment levels will go back to where they were, says Jack Ablin, chief investment officer for Harris Private Bank. He says the recession is winding down, but we're in a new economy.
We as a nation have spent more than we've earned consistently for nearly 10 years. We grew an economy that was just too big. Too many vacations, too many autos, too many Starbucks coffees, too many jobs, unfortunately.
Ablin points out the U.S. has lost 7.5 million jobs since the recession began. He says it could take nearly a decade for those jobs to come back. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by SunGard. SunGard Availability Services operates 5 million square feet of secure data center space dedicated to keeping people and information connected. More information at sunguard.com. And by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act.
The International Council of Shopping Centers says sales were up almost 3% last week compared to a year ago. But honestly, anything would look good compared to a year ago. The fact is, retailers have to compete hard for the elusive shopper. You might think when you do walk into a store, you ought to be treated like King Tut. David Lazarus wondered why that's not happening. He's a Los Angeles Times business columnist. Morning, David.
Good morning.
I see you've brought a newspaper ad with you.
I brought a visual aid. I'll hold it up to the microphone so everyone can see it. There you go. And this is from electronics heavyweight Best Buy, which this week has launched a nationwide newspaper and television campaign not to sell flat panel TVs. Instead, what they are selling is customer satisfaction.
Why does Best Buy think this is what's going to hook the customer this season?
I think because Best Buy knows very well that customer service and customer satisfaction has become miserable throughout the retail sector. All you got to do is look out on the showroom floor and see how confused and perplexed and frustrated so many consumers are. The question then becomes, why aren't more businesses doing something about it?
With customers so reluctant to spend this year, I would have thought customer service would be at an all-time high. You got to get those few customers.
You would think most businesses would be competing aggressively across the spectrum. In fact, it's all about price. You talk to the marketing experts, and they say the American consumer right now doesn't really place customer service as highly as he or she once did. Instead, it's all about low, low, low prices. And so what we're seeing this holiday season is this massive price war that's breaking out. Look at books and DVDs among, say, Amazon, Target, and Walmart. I just bought the new Stephen King novel for less than $10 with free shipping from Target, which is extraordinary. I can't even imagine the loss they're taking. But that's not about service per se. That's about allowing an informed consumer to make a good pick. What Best Buy is trying to say is, you come in here and we'll make you happy.
Are there companies that are doing customer service right, do you think?
I think there are. For instance, people who shop at Trader Joe's tell me that all the time they have no trouble getting any help. Nordstrom's is a very good example of a retailer that really emphasizes customer service and is going to make sure that somebody is right there next to you as soon as you have a question. The thing is, of course, you'll pay for that extra level of service.
Los Angeles Times business columnist David Lazarus, thanks.
Thank you.
And finally, with so many people looking for work, we continue to report on jobs you may or may not want. This morning, bush pilot. A South African web journal called Extreme Travel brings us photos of a piper cub that smelled too much like the fish the pilot was catching. Apparently, a contest between lightweight aircraft fabric and grizzly bear claws is no contest at all. The plane was completely unflyable, so the pilot radioed for three cases of duct tape. We have a link to the before and after photos at marketplace.org. It's not pretty, but he flew that thing home. It's true, the world really is held together with duct tape. This is Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.